This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the 20th day of January 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, legislation allowing the production of ethanol from natural gas under the Renewable Fuel Standard has been introduced in Washington, D.C. J.P. Morgan has upped its ante in the commodity markets, and the Minneapolis Grain Exchange has been moved to change wheat specs for the first time in 129 years. Dave Dickey will have the details of these and other stories shortly. Then a bit later in the program, we'll take a look at crop insurance and premiums from last year to this year and how they might compare. As we make our way through the program, we'll finish up with Jim Angel, the Illinois State Climatologist, to talk about the weather forecast right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media at the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago for a Friday afternoon, futures finish the day like this. The nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat pit for the afternoon at $6.10.5, up 4.75. May at $6.28.5, up 5. And the July futures, the harvest month at $6.43.75, up 4.75. From the corn pit nearby March, $6.11.5, up 5.5. May at $6.16.75, 4.75 higher. July at $6.20.25, up 4.25. September's corn futures, $5.75.5, down 3.25. December futures at $5.51.75, down 5.25. And the March contract at $5.64, down 5.5 cents. March soybeans $11.87, a dime lower. May futures $11.95.5, down 8.75. July at $12.04.5, down 8. And August beans $12.25, down 8.75. September at $11.91.75, 9.5 lower. November beans $11.83.75. The new crop at 10.5 cents lower as it finished the afternoon. Bean meal for the day at $3.11.90, down 3.80. Bean oil at $50.43, 63 cents lower. Live cattle futures finished the April at $127.72.5, down 7.5. The March feeders at $153.85, 15 cents lower. And the lean hogs for the afternoon in the February contract at $85.32.5, down 7.5 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's the outside markets for the afternoon. The nearby crude oil futures at $98.20, $2.19 lower. Ethanol at $2.13.2, that's a tenth of a cent higher. Natural gas at $2.36.2, up 0.4 cents. And heating oil for the day at $2.99.5, that's 0.4 cents lower. Gold futures at $1,663.70, up $9.60. And the dollar at 80.2 is just about unchanged. The CRB index at 309.91, down 2.05 for the day. The weather forecast for this evening is a little rough, and this afternoon, in fact. It says that we'll have a mixture of sleet and snow in the area. That'll develop across central Illinois through the afternoon as the main low-pressure system passes well to the south of our region. The precipitation will be light this afternoon, although we'll get some snow, and there will be a few places that get sleet, mainly less than 1 inch. The precipitation will taper off by midnight. Motorists, of course, are advised to drive with caution, particularly during the afternoon session and the commute on the way home for any evening activities, too, as slick spots may develop in many areas of the roadway. For this evening, snow is likely before midnight, a chance of flurries and freezing drizzle, of course. Cloudy, a low of 18 degrees, an east wind at 8 to 10 miles an hour in the area. A chance of precip set at 60%. Little or no ice really accumulation expected. New snow accumulation of less than an inch. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high near 29 degrees. North winds at 7 to 9 miles an hour. They'll come out of the E and becoming easterly then. And then Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 23, with a southeast wind at 8 to 11, gusting as high as 15, mostly cloudy and high of 46 on Sunday. A south wind between 11 and 15, gusting all the way to 22. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of the half hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana, on the phone line with us. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Happy Friday, buddy.
Hey, happy Friday to you. It's really good to be back in the saddle here at the home station on campus, WILL Radio, and talking to all our friends on the commercial stations out there as well. I've been on the road with the Corn and Soybean Classics 4 days this week and 3 days last week. We talked to about 940 or 50 folks over that period. It was a really good set, and hopefully they learned a lot. I know I did. Just traveling with the extension professionals over that 7 days. And I hear you're on the road next week, too.
Yeah, I got some trips in Kentucky and Ohio next week, and then I'll gradually work over towards Illinois come early February. So the next 45 days, pretty busy, but it's always a good time to get out and listen to producers, because I think that you can take a lot of information from one location to another, and then by the time you get back in your chair, you have a really good idea of what the producers are needing most from you. And that always happens right around that all-important base price time period for the February crop insurance price. And it sure seems like 2012 could be a lot different than 2011. We finally got a turn in the marketplace, and we've got some exports now being generated this week. We've got some index funds maybe coming back in. The dollar's found some weakness finally. And, you know, we're getting to that time period where we really need a nice rally to get our base price set up. And I'm a little bit nervous that we're going to have that rally between the mid-Jan to late-Jan time period, Todd. But if we don't feed the bull with increasing demand and keep that demand base good, then maybe we might peak too early to really capture a lot of it out of our base price. So that's kind of one of the main themes that I'm going to be talking about next week at my meeting.
You know, you're talking what's in the bin, or are you talking about new crop?
This is new crop.
Right.
I think the guys, I'd be interested to hear what you have to say after hearing from all, or talking to all those people around Illinois. It seems like to me, and I think we all picked this up at the panel meeting in Pontiac too, individually with producers, that they're not too worried about 11. They just want to, they see their strong basis. They've got their break-evens covered. The 12, though, they're real nervous about losing that 550 footing and going lower than that, and then going below that 1150 level in beans, and all of a sudden they're not meeting or just barely breaking even. And I think obviously that's a good concern to have.
Yeah, December 12 at 551 3/4. More importantly, the nearbys were up and the deferreds were lower today, so that's probably a good reason to be worried.
Yeah, well, medium term, I think that's a healthy sign of the market because the spreads are firm. I do think that based upon contacts in the global grain trade, the end-user market, and then contacts in Chicago, we did get demand back, and it was really neat. It's really fascinating to see the weekly export sales highlights. Wheat did better than trade guesses. When's the last time you and I talked about wheat exports doing better than trade guesses and 81% above their four-week average? Corn also did a great deal of business this week. China was this number three buyer after Mexico and South Korea. Soybeans had a 95% better trade weekly exports than the four-week average. Even soybean meal was 88% better than the four-week average. So I think that's where we saw the basis jump. We saw South American cash prices start to jump. We started to see Egypt buy and South Korea buy. We're starting to see a nice footprint that the demand has come back. Prices have gone low enough, plus the South American weather's bad enough that the origin is changing. So that's what we want now is trend, momentum in that, and then the technicals to follow.
Any single event or thing you think that is driving demand back upwards or into the marketplace, for instance? It's been long enough since we've talked about Europe and its problems, and maybe it's starting to be, maybe not mended, but at least looking at some light at the end of the tunnel, or is there something else there that you're
watching? No, I think you bring up a huge point. I think the fact that the equity markets are able to be up at 6- and 7-month highs because they've been able to throw Europe off, I think that definitely helps the risk taker out there in the commodity market that's been on the sidelines. I think, obviously, South America is the obvious 800-pound gorilla in the room, but there's also the talk, the increasing talk, and this is something big for next week, is that there's expectations before China goes on to their New Year holiday and takes a break on the 23rd, that they're going to come in and with some type of monetary policy easing. And I think that was a big trade in the Asian stock markets this week. I think that also helped the copper, and I think it also helped break the dollar about 2% this week. So I think you better have that come through. You better have China do something, because that Chinese monetary policy issue is something we're going to have to really worry about if they don't do something. Why? Because there's more and more suggestions and more ample evidence that would say if their property market gets any weaker and the European Union crisis doesn't improve, they may be still up for a hard landing here in 2012, and that would really be a negative connotation for those index fund buyers, you know, if we had a deflationary mindset more than an inflationary mindset in China.
Can I bring you back to South America for just a bit?
Sure.
I haven't watched much of what the weather looked like this week, but just from a glance, it must have gotten better than it has been, and we had, of course, a little rainfall last week, too.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a huge point, because I just about 20 minutes ago heard back from one of my clients in southern Brazil, and he said, we had 4 inches of rain, very localized, but I was back running the irrigation systems Monday evening. So that tells you how localized it was. He said, we've already started harvest in western Paraná, 3 weeks ahead of normal now. So like most of Argentina's corn, the southern Brazil area for beans is starting to run out of time to get help. He said, we're forecast to receive some rain Tuesday, shouldn't be that heavy. And he said, overall, I'd say things are about the same, maybe a little better than early January and December. So I think what I picked up in the trade this week, Todd, was we did get some relief, but it's nowhere near enough. And if we don't get that relief in Argentina, those beans may be right back on the upward path, because the trade is betting at this point, I think, that the beans are going to get help from the weekend rains here for southern, you know, Argentina, southern Brazil, Argentina, like Buenos Aires province especially.
Why were they lower today?
I think the spreading came in. I think you also had the crude oil down hard. That really noticeably showed up in the bean oil price. Bean oil was down 99 at one point. And I think that and the intercommodity spreading really showed up and kind of offset the great export sales we had. But I would say, technically speaking, we were still up almost 30 cents for the week in March beans. And we were able to regain the 50-day moving average. That was one of the things I put in last weekend's copy. I'd really like to get that 50-day moving average back by Friday's close. And so all three of the major complexes closed positive. That's a real nice sign.
And then the informant numbers were out earlier today. They trimmed their bean number back, but not by much.
No, I think those were all within the range of tolerance for the trade, and I think that for that reason, nobody really got shooken up about them. And the other thing that came out this week that I think is going to play more and more a role in the December corn price and the July wheat price, especially, is the National Weather Service 30 and 60-day forecast. They came in with hot and dry, I mean, much above average temperatures for the southern plains. And I talked to some of my clients after that came out in the southern plains in Texas, Kansas, southern Nebraska. They're all very, very nervous if they're not irrigated. They will not plant any corn if that forecast holds. So I think that's going to play a role in the corn market as well.
Were you out this week with the crew and talking to farmers much?
Yeah, we were. We were in Pontiac with Dave and Chuck and Jackie and Mike Georgie, and had a nice time there, and had some other private meetings scheduled here at the office.
What did farmers say at the meetings?
Like we talked about before, I think they're really eager to get new crop corn locked in because they want to get their break-evens locked in. And that's music to my ears because, like I said at the top of the show, I am a little bit concerned about the February average price, especially when it comes to the soybean complex. The one thing I should throw out, too, is in a medium-term perspective, like the dollar made a sell signal this week, I also see that the November bean dease corn ratio may be making a sell as well. In other words, we've run the November beans up against the dease corn pretty hard. It looks like maybe the dease corn is going to start to win out here in the next few weeks.
Mike, you have a great weekend.
You too, Todd. Hey, get some rest.
Well, I'll try.
All right.
I have fun when I'm on the road, so it's okay.
Sounds good.
Thanks much. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. He was out earlier in the week with Dave Dickey and Company. You can find all of those Ag Outlook meetings on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find everything from our pre-opening market report to our closing market report, too. Posted not long after it gets to our website. Commodity Week's up there by about 6 o'clock. We'll record that at 4:30 this afternoon. Our guest, Dave Hightower, this week. You'll want to log in and listen to that one after 6 o'clock this evening. Commodity Week at willag.org. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment. He has all of today's agricultural news.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
In agricultural news, six members of the House Energy and Commerce Committee have introduced a bill that would allow the Environmental Protection Agency to permit ethanol produced from alternative sources, such as domestic natural gas and coal, to be included under the renewable fuel standard and thus compete with corn-based ethanol. Five of the six co-sponsors represent districts in Texas, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, all of which produce significant amounts of coal and/or natural gas. The proposal is backed by a number of U.S. livestock and poultry organizations, the Grocery Manufacturers of America, and America's Natural Gas Alliance. J.P. Morgan raised its commodity trading risks by a third in the final quarter of 2011, the only major U.S. bank to sharply raise its exposure to the sector that swung wildly in the quarter. Among other major banks, Goldman Sachs raised its exposure marginally, and Morgan Stanley actually lowered its commodities exposure in the fourth quarter. Morgan Stanley cut back on the money it was willing to lose on oil, metals, and crops. Value at risk, or VAR, is the maximum amount of money a financial institution is willing to lose on a day for trading a particular asset class. J.P. Morgan reported a $20 million commodities VAR for the latest quarter, up 33% from the previous 3 months, and 43% higher than a year ago. The Minneapolis Grain Exchange, home to U.S. spring wheat futures, said on Thursday it is adding more quality rules to its century-old contract as it heads off competition from the Intercontinental Exchange wheat contracts coming next week. The exchange says the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission approved a request to allow the delivery of non-U.S. wheat for the first time against the 129-year-old contract. The change becomes effective with the September 2012 contract. The majority of the non-U.S. wheat is expected to come from Canada, the world's biggest grower of high-protein spring and durum wheats. Grain traders worldwide are watching Canada as the Canadian Wheat Board's grain marketing monopoly, the world's largest, is expected to end by August of this year. The Minneapolis Grain Exchange, the smallest U.S. wheat exchange after the Chicago Board of Trade and Kansas City Board of Trade, is seen as wanting to widen its hedging appeal, providing Canadian farmers and grain firms an established and liquid hedging alternative to Canadian wheat contracts that are set to debut on the ICE Futures Canada Exchange on January 23rd. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report. And Commodity Week, that second program you can hear after 6 o'clock this evening. Our guest this week, Dave Hightower, the Hightower Report. In studio with us, Matt Bennett, Paul Cooley, and Jackie Vakes. Should be a fantastic show. We hope you take time to listen to it on the web or on the radio. We're at willag.org. You know, USDA has changed some of the calculations related to crop insurance. In a moment, I'll have a story comparing last year's premiums to this year's. USDA RMA, that's the Risk Management Agency, has updated the way premiums are calculated for crop insurance. There are two possible changes producers will see when signing contracts in March. A USDA, through an actuarial analysis, has re-rated risk. It generally should result in lower premiums for farmers in primary Corn Belt states. The agency, in a pilot program available most everywhere corn is grown, has also recalculated APH, or actual production history yields. Extension Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnitke dropped the new premium schedule into last year's program to see how things would have changed.
Revenue protection for optional units, what we find is that the reduction in premiums are about 5 to 6%. So for optional units, your premiums will go down 5 to 6%. For basic and enterprise units, the premiums will go down more, but that's part of the re-rating effort, and also RMA changed the way enterprise units were calculated. In that case, in the enterprise unit case, we can be looking at premium reductions that will average about 14% across the state, but it really does vary where you're at in what county you're at as far as the premium reduction.
The University of Illinois Ag Economist says not only does the premium vary by county across Illinois and other states, but that it also varies by unit size.
It does vary by unit size, and that larger, on average, the larger unit sizes have more of a premium reduction. And just to give you a feel for this, and we did this is averages for Illinois, an enterprise unit with 350 acres will have an 11% reduction, and that same unit with 450 acres will have a 16%, so 11 to 16. So that's pretty sizable.
Those are the numbers for corn. The soybean premium reductions were even greater.
We actually saw higher reductions for soybeans, where optional units averaged somewhere between 5 and 6%. Optional units averaged about 12%, so more reductions for soybeans.
Again, Schnitke's premium comparison pitted last year's risk ratings against the update for this year, but ignored the pilot program adjusted trend yield APH and the no longer available BE. By the way, Schnitke believes it will benefit nearly all farmers to opt in to the adjusted trend yield program. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's check the cash grain market on this Friday afternoon. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company on the phone line. Bruce, thanks so much for taking time. Base is getting better?
We've seen some improvements on both corn and soybeans led by the nearbys, basically shutting off the spigot on cash movement. Export sales this week were a little bit better than we've seen for the last few weeks. So nearby corn up 4 cents since last Friday, and beans have jumped 8 cents.
Yeah, since you've closed that up, have you moved any corn, or is it just staying put?
We're seeing a little bit of cash movement after, you know, basically nothing since a week ago Thursday. But as we've popped it those last few days, we've seen a little bit of a gain.
More of the same in the next week? You think it'll tighten up on Monday and Tuesday?
Oh, we'll see what happens here. It looks like we still have some cash demand. Part of it is offsetting a little bit of barge freight. The river is real low. They're running into some water level issues, so that's been running up barge freight. So you've seen SIF go up a little bit on that. So I think it's entirely possible unless we get the board to rally.
Low, but of course not closed, right?
What's that?
Low, but not closed.
Nope.
That's
unless
not bad
they get some snow cover, that could be an issue here going on through the winter and into the spring. That melt-off tends to kind of flush the silt out, and that could be an ongoing problem.
Right. And your bids for the day?
We are at 614 on nearby corn, 1171 on soybeans.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Bruce Bostard. He's at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. He joins us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes to talk with state climatologist Jim Angel about the weekend weather forecast.
It's National Butter Crunch Day, and it's also St. Sebastian Day, patron of gardeners. On this day in agricultural history in 1910, Joy Adamson was born. A naturalist and conservationist, she documented in Kenya local uses of plant parts for insecticides, dyes, fibers, and foods. In 1964, the world's largest cheese was made, a 34,000-pound cheddar. It was created by the Wisconsin Cheese Foundation for the 1964-1965 New York World's Fair. It took 170,000 quarts of milk from 16,000 cows. It was eaten at the 1965 annual meeting of the Wisconsin Dairymen and Cheesemakers Association. And in 1998, American researchers at the University of Massachusetts announced that they had cloned calves that could be used in the production of medicinal milk. The goal was to mass-produce milk containing human proteins important for treating human diseases by splicing human genes into cattle DNA. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Jim Angel, Illinois State Climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey and the Prairie Research Institute, is with us to take up the weather forecast for the weekend and the evening. Thanks so much, Jim.
Thanks, Todd.
Let's start with the evening hours, because it looks like it won't be real pretty here in our part of the world, in Champaign County and other parts of central Illinois either, over the next 6 to 10 hours.
That's right, yes. The National Weather Service does have us in having a chance of snow. Looks like the accumulations won't be that much. They're talking about, you know, chance of snow this afternoon and some freezing rain. By this evening, accumulations of less than an inch. Probably the other thing that's going to be troublesome is it's going to be fairly windy out there, so it could be periods of low visibility, and also some pretty slick streets at times. I think that's probably fair to say. And, you know, it's about 22 degrees out at the airport right now, and it's going to start sliding down the scale here pretty soon. We're supposed to get down to 18 degrees tonight, so it's going to be pretty ugly for the next couple of hours, but by Saturday it should warm up a little bit and be clear off. We'll be highs around 30 degrees, and Saturday night down to 23, and on Sunday a high of 46. So a lot of the stuff we're going to experience this evening will probably disappear by Sunday, and chance of rain Sunday night. And it's kind of interesting, if you look at the long range models, they got another system coming in next Friday, so we seem to be kind of on this rhythm now of big storm system rolls through on Thursday or Friday, and then it turns a little colder, and then it clears off and warms back up, and then we start the cycle over again.
Am I to understand that the northern part of Illinois will get the brunt of this storm front?
That's right. They are definitely in ground zero for this. In fact, it's already snowing up there, I think. Kind of the Chicago area especially will get about 3 to 6 inches. There'll be parts of northern Illinois that'll get the most of it. Here in central Illinois, it's probably going to be a little lighter and more of a mix, a little bit of freezing rain, a bit of snow.
And in the Galesburg area?
Yes, they will also be getting some snow. In fact, I think it's snowing right there as we speak. So,
well, that happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so take a look into next week, and what do you see?
Yeah, if you look at the 6 to 10 day and the 8 to 14 day forecast, those are calling for, both of them are calling for above normal temperatures and above normal precipitation. So that's, things are going to be pretty much back to what we've experienced all winter here with, on the big scale of seeing warmer and wetter conditions. And even the forecast, they just came out with a new one for February, that monthly outlook calls for above normal temperatures and precipitation across Illinois.
Jim, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel with the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Center joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon. Thanks to him. Make sure you visit us online at willag.org for Commodity Week. Our guest this week, Dave Hightower. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at agrigoldgiants.com or at 800-262-7333.